path to a better life begins with a simple step. Empower Radio presents Simple Steps, Real Change with Cheryl Maloney. Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Cheryl Maloney.
How is your stress level today? Do you feel like you're living under the stress of life and everything that's going on in the world? And are you feeling that stress in the pit of your stomach? Does your gut just not feel right and you know it's because nothing seems like it should be? Well, my guest today, and I'm thrilled to have Dr. Pamela Nathan here with us today, and she is an expert on the effects of stress on our guts, the things that we forget about, and we take them for granted until they're telling us something's wrong. Pamela was gracious enough to be a writer for Simple Steps, Real Change magazine when we were producing that, and she is an acupuncturist, and she's trained in homeopathic, I can't say that word right, medicine, and she also has some exciting news to share with us today about the discoveries that are going on in the fields of stress in your gut. So, Pamela, welcome to the show.
Hi, Cheryl. So lovely to be with you today.
Well, thank you. And tell the audience, because you're new to our audience as far as our radio show, just give them a little bit of your background and how you got interested in guts and stress.
Do you want the long version or the short
version?
Well,
we're going to have questions. So how about the medium version?
Okay, sure. Yeah, so, you know, I was born and raised in South Africa. And I was a mom with a child who had allergies and asthma, and he was my teacher, and that was actually my first introduction to anything that was other than the normal, you know, allopathic approach to medicine, because that wasn't working. And it was just astounding to me when I was introduced to homeopathy and to being able to change his diet, how effective that could be. It was almost like a miracle. And so it was because of that that I went back to school and wanted to learn about, you know, homeopathy. Prior to that, I had trained as a psychologist. So I had the psychotherapy background and then layered on top of that a degree in homeopathy and then later on in acupuncture. So all of the things that I talk about today are really an accumulation of lots of information over many years. So when Alan was, you know, so young, here he was changing from a normal diet to a diet that was healthy. And there were no artificial flavors and no sugars and things like that. And it made such a profound difference to him that it was, you know, absolutely remarkable. So going on from there, I did a research study with a Dr. Stephen Brody in stress. He and I had developed a program called PRISM, Positive Restructuring of Individual Stress Management. And it was a 8-week program that involved meditation, guided imagery, nutrition, yoga, and cognitive reframing using neuro-linguistic programming techniques. In the 2 years of research that we did, we showed a 42% reduction in stress level scores with all the patients that I saw over that period of time. And so this was astounding to me to really see how many people could respond to the practice of meditation and making changes in their lifestyle to their stress levels.
And Pamela, I kind of like that. That's just so fascinating to me, because we live in a world where our stress is high and people are using other ways to work with this stress, whether it's alcohol or drugs or something that they tend to dull their pain. But what you're suggesting here, and we've heard a lot about this, is when you focus on being calm, when you focus on meditation, you can control that without using means outside of your body.
That's absolutely correct, Cheryl, because you see, there actually is a physiological effect, because we, you know, to describe it a little bit more in detail, we have an autonomic nervous system. So there's the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. The sympathetic is your fight or flight circumstance, where we're stopped suddenly at a light, or somebody comes in front of us, and we're, because of our lifestyles, a lot of that happens. The parasympathetic is where the body actually dips into the opposite of that. So you can't be in both places at the same time. Now, when you're doing some type of relaxation technique, in actual fact, you're moving, even if it's for seconds, from a sympathetic to a parasympathetic mode. And by doing that on a consistent basis, you have that change that occurs physiologically. And that's what's so wonderful, because you really are not spending any money. You're just sitting and you're allowing the body to regulate itself. And so that's, you know, to me, the ultimate way of helping people to help themselves is to introduce them to that idea and to spread the word of relaxation and meditation, because I know how, you know, important it is and what a profound effect it has.
Well, this is, you know, it is so interesting, because I know we hear a lot, and when I first started doing this program, if you talked about meditation, you were living in a world of woo-woo. That was kind of out there for, you know, the odd people to do. And now you find that meditation is happening more and more in our society, because people understand, or starting to understand, the benefits of it. But when you and I were going back and forth about this a little bit before, you've also said that there's a lot of really amazing discoveries being made about stress. Do you want to share some of what's going on right now?
Well, so yes, Cheryl, in the most recent studies, and where I'm really involved a lot, is with regard to the digestive system, which is what you were talking about earlier. And so now we know that 70% of our serotonin is actually manufactured in our gut. And so there's this amazing connection between our mental state and what's going on in our digestion. So when people have, when they say it's a gut feeling, you know, it really is. It really is a gut feeling. So between 2008 and 2013, I think, anyway, we were nationwide involved in a study called the Human Microbiome Project. And this was revolutionary, because the whole, it was, as I said, it was nationwide, and it was instituted by the National Institute of Health. And the whole idea behind it was to identify and characterize the microorganisms that were found in both healthy and diseased people. So when they embarked on this study, we finally found ways to actually be a lot more accurate about what's going on in the digestive system than what we knew for the last 50 years. And that's where this connection between stress and the digestion came in, because now there are actually studies that show that. And to the extent that there are studies that show that when people take probiotics, that they have a reduction in stress. So you're using physiological changes in the digestive system to actually manifest on a psychological and mental basis.
And that's truly, it's so going away from what we've heard all along, because for years and years it was, it's all in your head. And now it's like, no, it's only partially there. The rest of it is in your guts. And probiotics, tell people what they are, because some folks don't understand that.
Okay. So probiotics are the good bacteria that we ingest. So, you know, we always spoke about the probiotics in our body, but now that we know from the Human Microbiome Project how to call it more specifically, what's in our gut is our microbiota. So that microbiome consists of good bacteria in our gut that we were born with. And in actual fact, even as an adult, most of the bacteria, the good bacteria that we have in our gut, we got in the first 2 years of our life. We never knew that. We always thought that if we're going to give our patients lots and lots of lactobacillus and bifidus, that those are going to grow in their gut and they're going to flourish. That's not true. In actual fact, as I said to you, most of what we have as an adult is what we got earlier on. And funnily enough, Cheryl, one of the most recent articles I read, they were talking about babies that were born via cesarean. So now they know that the vaginal canal actually provides a lot of this natural microbiota to the baby. So then, again, we used to think it was an old wives' tale when people said, oh, babies that are born by natural birth are healthier than those that are cesarean. Well, that's actually true. So now, one of the things that they do after birth is they actually take some of the secretions from the vaginal canal and put it into the baby's mouth so that they can actually ingest those microbiota. So the probiotics are the good bacteria that we take as a supplement to help to allow that good bacteria, the microbiota in our gut, flourish.
Well, let me ask you a question, because I as someone who, quite frankly, was given a lot of acidophilus as a child, what you're indicating now is we got it when we were young, but can we add to it now? Can we give ourselves more, or are we just stuck with whatever we had when we were born?
That's a good question, right? And it's, here, let me try and make it as simple an answer. We are stuck with what we got. However, there is always room for improvement. So how do we improve it? By increasing the diversity. And you see, this is new information from the Human Microbiome Project. Because as I alluded to before, when I said to you, and you just said, I was taking lots of acidophilus. So for 50 years, we knew that acidophilus and bifidus were the most prevalent of the strains of microbiota that we have naturally in our gut. So we thought that we're just going to increase that, and that's the way we're going to get the person healthy. Well, from the research from the Human Microbiome Project, what we know is that the most healthy gut is when there are lots of different good bacteria in our gut. And it's just as important to have all of them flourishing rather than focusing on just two of them. So the bottom line is that the best way to increase the strength of the digestive system is to feed the good bacteria. And the way that you do that is with prebiotics. So,
Let me just ask a question, and I don't mean to interrupt, but a lot of our audience isn't going to know the difference between what's a prebiotic and a probiotic. So you may have been getting to that, but let's just add that in here, please.
Okay. So a prebiotic is soluble fiber that the good bacteria, the probiotics and the microbiota, feed on. So it's like fertilizer to the good bacteria. So you see how we're swinging away from saying supplement with probiotics, and I was going to get to that because I wanted to discuss the difference between the different kinds of probiotics. But truly, when you said, how is it that we're going to strengthen our gut? The best way is to be able to take prebiotics that your good bacteria that you've been given grow.
Okay. So, and is this something that we can do? I mean, because we look at how do we naturally take care of our bodies. Are those things that we can get through the foods that we eat?
Absolutely. There's a whole lot of prebiotic foods that are, you know, like the Jerusalem artichoke. There's a whole list of products that you can be eating, as well as fermented foods. And aside from that, you can be supplementing and choosing rather to be using soluble fiber than insoluble fiber. So we've been concentrating on bran and bulk items, whereas we're better off using a soluble fiber. And those are like inulin and partially hydrolyzed guar gum, fructo-oligosaccharides. Those are the prebiotics that will help to grow the probiotics.
Okay, so Pamela, the question that I've got is, those were a lot of interesting terms, but what does that mean when I'm going to the grocery store? What are the types of besides the Jerusalem artichoke, what is it that we can be buying that have those qualities in them? Because I don't know.
Okay, so fermented foods, just generally, are prebiotic. Those are going to feed your good bacteria.
So okay, but what are those?
Kefir, kombucha, sauerkraut, pickles, okay. Miso, tempeh, kimchi, any of those things can help to...
Okay, great. All right, that makes sense, and I appreciate that, because I'm sitting here going, I don't shop in this kind of store very often. What kind of things will help? So if we're eating more of those types of foods, we're actually feeding what we need to. Those are the prebiotics we're feeding our system to help supplement what we already have, or to grow what we already have. Is that a good understanding?
That is absolutely correct. And then, you know, there are other high fiber foods like avocados, berries, pears, coconut. You know, those all are high in natural fiber, and those are going to be good as well.
Those are ones that I eat more often. So good. All right. I know when I go to the grocery store, I'll be picking more of those up. Now, connect the dots here for us. So we're going to be feeding more into our stomachs, those prebiotic type of foods, preferably if we can eat it naturally. How does that help with respect to our guts, and not just our guts, but our stress and how that all comes through? Connect those dots for us.
Okay. So in that, we know that 70% of the serotonin is made in the gut. We want to be sure that the digestive system is functioning adequately. So how is it that you're going to assure yourself that your gut is functioning optimally? It's by feeding the gut with what it is that it needs to thrive. So you're improving the gut lining, so to speak, so that the serotonin, the 70% of the serotonin, is being manufactured in an ideal environment. So you're looking at the functional aspect of the digestive system that is directly related to how it is that the brain and mental capacity is functioning.
Okay, perfect. Now that makes sense. That's helping us all tie it together. Now, where do probiotics come into all of this?
Okay, so we're back to the Human Microbiome Project. You see, we thought that when we gave lots of Acidophilus and Bifidus, that they were growing in the gut, mm-hmm. but they weren't. And we didn't know that, because what we know now is that for whatever the effect that they do have, it's temporary because of the fact that they didn't grow. the reason that they didn't grow is because they are not human strain. They're not identified by the body as being something that's the same as the microbiota that usually grow there. So we would take loads of the Acidophilus. It would come in. There's an immune modulation effect that can occur. Most of it would die on the way down because it would be killed by the stomach acid and the bile. So we would only land up with a very small percentage. And then if we didn't keep on taking it, it didn't really make a lasting effect on the changes that we're wanting to effect because of the fact that it didn't really grow. So what we know now is that there are certain strains of probiotics that do survive the stomach acid, that do thrive without it being compromised on the way down. And so that's the reason that we're looking now towards using probiotics that are not grown on dairy or on soy or on another medium, but rather one that's found naturally in nature that looks identical to what it is that's in the gut.
And what are some examples of that?
Well, the ones that I'm the most interested in now are the bacillus spores. There are three bacillus strains that are really good that I have been, using a lot now. And those are the bacillus coagulans, the bacillus clausii, and bacillus subtilis. So just the same way as you've got lactobacillus and bifidus, those are two different strains, but they're not bacillus spores. They're ones that would grow on dairy. They would come into the body for a temporary time and then die and, just affect the body through immune modulation. Okay. Whereas with a bacillus spore, it will go through the stomach acid. It won't be affected by it.
Okay. Well, I hate to say this, but we have gotten so far into this subject that the shows were almost out of time. And it just has flown by. So before we go, let's just take a minute, because the folks that are truly fascinated by this would love to read more. How can they reach you or get some more information about this?
Well, my website is goodgutsolution.com, and I have a blog. And if you put in probiotic or prebiotic into the search, there are lots of articles that they can read that will give them more information about that. My email address is help@goodgutsolution.com.
Wonderful.
I'm happy to answer any questions.
Well, Pamela, thank you so much for being on the show with us today. It's obvious that we could do a whole other show on all of this, and I'm sorry that it went through as quickly as it did. But before you go, if you had one suggestion for our audiences, what could they go out right now and buy with respect to food that would just really make a big impact on their digestive system? What would be your top recommendation?
My top recommendation are the prebiotic foods. I actually have a list of them on the blog post, and choose the ones you like, and just make sure that you're eating more of those foods, knowing that those are going to allow the good bacteria in your microbiota to flourish.
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the show. We appreciate the opportunity to connect the dots between our stress and our guts. So thank you.
You're most welcome. And thank you, Cheryl.
Okay, wonderful. Well, to our audience, thanks for being here today. This was just one of those fascinating subjects that we're going, all right, why is it that we feel all of our stress in our guts? And Dr. Pamela Nathan was kind enough to join us here today to talk about really what that connection was. I never really thought about my stomach being responsible for my stress and how I felt today. But it's good to know we have another thing we can do. We can eat those probiotics and meditate and take care of ourselves. So thanks everyone for listening today. It's been wonderful to be with you here. And I hope all of your simple steps this next week take you to where you want to go. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.